Dan, my friend, always good speaking with you. As we speak today, you are actually going to be doing a show tonight over at Massey Hall, correct?
Yes, I'm thrilled. It's called Juno Songwriter Circle with myself doing a couple songs, Rondi Bachman, Sylvia Tyson, Johnny Reed being the host, MC, doing some songs, and there's Luke Doucette. So there's a lot of really, really great Juno talent songwriters doing this show at Massey Hall tonight.
You know, when we are talking about talent, we are, of course, we have to include you in this, and we're talking about the history of the Junos, of course, being celebrated for 40 years. You're a big part of that. And, you know, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about was, what do you remember about the Junos way back when the Junos were first really getting their its own push and helping push Canadian artists? What do you remember back when you were a really big stronghold of what was going on with Canadian music and, you know, writing, recording, and winning Junos?
Well, it was much more of a family situation back then. It was, Canada was still in its infancy stage when it came to its impact on the international landscape. So in a way, that meant the Junos were much more kind of homey and down-to-earth and unslick. That's not to say that they were better then. It was just different. It's kind of like watching a child grow up. What you didn't realize when you were part of this process of the Juno Awards is, even though it seemed like it was very small and family-like, the impact that it had on the country was unbelievable. So, you know, you'd win a Juno Award, and literally your life changed, you know, even more so than if you had a hit record. So the impact of the Junos, even in the 70s, was absolutely very, very powerful on my career and anybody's career. It's just that it was done in a much smaller, kind of sweeter level. And now what's happening with the Junos is, I really like the way the Junos have progressed, and certainly technically it's a much better show, and it's much more all-inclusive, meaning it's a lot of different types of music, you know, as opposed to more of just a mainstream pop. But at the same time, it has a bigness and an industry kind of corporate feel to it, that although it was very valid for, you know, exposing Canadian talent, sometimes, you know, is not as personal and as intimate for me.
And that's the thing I want to get into, too, because, you know, one of the statements I remember Gordon Lightfoot making years ago was, you know, I need a Juno Award like I need another arm or something like that. Do you think it was... what do you think it was back then? Was it respected back then to what it is now?
Well, there was a disconnect in terms of how some of the artists related to the Junos in the media and how the public related. By that, I mean, a lot of people felt that the production values of the Junos in the 70s happened to be lacking. I remember performing on the Junos in 75 and literally seeing Elton John. Actually, this is 1976, literally seeing Elton John at one of my concerts a week later, you know, in Guelph. And he said, boy, that I really didn't like the production values of the Junos. So critically speaking, and from big superstar artists, they would kind of criticize the production values. But that being said, the public absolutely adored the Junos. And, you know, you would go from selling, say, out a 500-seat theater to a 5,000-seat theater just from winning, say, in my case, the Best New Artist of the Year. So it had a huge effect on your career, and I think that the press and the artists, the superstars, underestimated the huge impact it had on the everyday person.
So one more time, talk about what the Junos did for you, because you mentioned to me earlier before we started that you had won, of course, 5 Juno Awards.
Yes. Well, they just, you know, it was amazing. It's kind of like, you know, I can only liken it to what it was like to get a PhD back in, the 60s and 70s, and suddenly all your job offers and your pay salaries just shot up exponentially. So to win a Juno Award, first of all, that is always going to be affixed to your name for the rest of your life. You know, Juno Award winning, you know, Hayden Neal or, you know, Alanis Morissette, that is always there. It's almost like saying Dan Hill, PhD, you know. And the other thing is that people really, really watch those Junos. And even though in the 70s people had more of an inferiority complex about their own domestic music, because now Canada has exploded on the international scene with artists like Drake and Justin Bieber and so on and so forth, even though there was kind of like a bit of a, you know, a self-consciousness or insecurity about her own talent. At the same time, seeing someone win a Juno, seeing someone perform on the Junos, just literally, you know, skyrocketed your career. It was unbelievable. I mean, I could do the Junos and get a bad review because they said the production values were bad during my song, but the next day I would literally be swarmed everywhere.
What kind of venues were they having the Junos at?
They were having there used to be a place called the O'Keefe Center, which is now, I think, called the Sony Center. It's gone through a lot of different changes of names. They were kind of like, again, smaller venues, you know, less slick, you know, not so big, you know, not so much food, you know, what's the term now, swag, you know, that, you know, there's nothing like swag. If you're lucky, you got a pin. I can remember sitting at the Junos with Pierre Trudeau, you know, in 1978, in his phalanx of bodyguards, and Jeanette Reno, the wonderful singer from Quebec. And even then, it was like a small thing, and Jeanette Reno would be trying to explain to Pierre Trudeau about Someone Has Only Touch, and Trudeau had never heard the song, and Jeanette would be singing the song to Trudeau. But that kind of stuff would never happen now. You know, I mean, there'd be, because of security, because of terrorism, because of the way the world's changed, you just wouldn't get Trudeau just sitting smack dab in the middle of a bunch of artists. And in a way, that was very kind of sweet, you know, the idea that there's a singer from Quebec singing to Trudeau who's pretending he knows Sometimes When We Touch, but truly has never heard of it.
One last question, though. What meant to you more? And this is probably an unfair question. Grammy or Juno?
Well, you know, they're different beasts, really. You know, I think the thing I liked about the Grammy was that I won it as a producer. And so, you know, I like that because it was not what people would have expected me to win. I think the thing about the Junos is it's kind of like your first love. You know what I mean? Like, I was really, really young. Like, I was 21, I think, when I won my first Juno. That's pretty young. And so you kind of liken it to your very first girlfriend, your very first kiss, your very first relationship. So I'll always have a kind of a romantic kind of a love affair with the Junos, because it was almost like me losing my professional virginity. I know I'm stretching the metaphor here, but I think, whereas the Grammys, I already was pretty established, and it was great to win, but, you know, by then I was in my 40s, and it wasn't quite the same dazzling experience as winning the Junos as a 21-year-old.
Fantastic. You're going to be there on Sunday?
Just yes, curious? I'm presenting.
Oh, fantastic.
I'm thrilled to be a part of the Junos. I'm very, very proud of all the new generation of artists. I love them.
Fantastic. Then, my friend, I will see you on Sunday.
I look forward to that, Rudy.
And have a good time tonight, man. Thank you. I know the fans are going to love it.
Thank you so much. My best to your family.
You too. Take
okay.
care.
Bye now.